I certainly love and appreciate Brother Mike Wheat. I appreciate and love all the preachers that are members of our church here, and I have really enjoyed over the past several weeks hearing them preach, and I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Mike tonight. So you lift him up with your prayers as he comes before us, and I've heard it said many times, and I believe it's true. You pray for the message, you'll get more out of the message. And so you remember him tonight as he comes before us. And Brother Mike, God bless you, preacher.
You know, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Something about a prayer that you can feel it. Thank you for mentioning me in your prayer. No church, no need for revival. You know, we all have many needs. I ask him to help us. I do desire and interest your prayers. I try to stay. Take a reading lesson from the 14th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 25th verse here. It says, "And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, If a man come to me and hate not his father or his mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intend to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Least happily, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desires condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." I'm going to stop my reading lesson there with this 33rd verse. Ask God that he'd honor the reading of his word tonight. My thought comes from out of this 28th verse of our reading. It says, count the cost. You know, we need to count the cost of things that we do. You know, before I get into that, I want to make a comment on this 26th verse. It says, if a man come not to me and hate not his father and his mother. You know, you look at that and you see that word hate, and you think, well, that Jesus teaching us to hate our mother and father. But that word in Greek was, I won't pronounce it right, but misiho. And that's probably not right, but the meaning of it I got, it says to love less. You know, and that's not contradictory with the word of God. You know, the first commandment is for us to love God. You know, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees the greatest commandment. He said to love the God, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And you know, the fifth commandment was to honor father and mother. Young people, I'd like to say that I'm persuaded that the greatest honor you could give your mother and father is to serve the Lord. And I think that's what Jesus is teaching here. You know, whether your parents ever act like or ever appreciate it in this life, you could ever tell it, but somewhere along the line, the greatest honor you could give them is to serve the Lord. You know, my thoughts tonight was a lot towards people that are saved, the church. I haven't did that a lot, but I mean by that people that's been born again. Like Jesus told Nicodemus about, man must be born again. We're talking about somebody that has passed from death unto life. You know, you might say, well, what do you know about death? You've never died, and physically, I haven't died. I reckon my spirit and soul's ever lost my body. But there's a time and a place I could tell you about that I spiritually died. And that I'd, you know, the Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John that the Spirit would come and it would reprove the world of sin. You know, one night as an 11-year-old boy, the Spirit come to me and it reproved me. You know, Paul in the Roman letter said that he was alive without the law, and then the commandment came. And he died. You know, he died to sin. You know, as an 11-year-old boy, that happened to me. The preaching of the Word of God touched in my heart where it never touched before. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Never had a man ever spoke like that before. I know that I was lost. You know, we use the term lost a lot. And I guess that describes my feeling quite well. There was people around, but I didn't feel like I was close to anything. I was just by myself. I was separated from God. You know, when the last few weeks we've, Brother Miller's mentioned about testimonies that are recorded in the Bible, and we each have one. Our own testimony, but there is testimony in the Bible that we can relate to. You know, that's kind of common to us. You know, you think of the 116th division of the Psalm, where the psalmist talks about the pains of hell got hold of him and the sorrows of death. You know, I can relate to that. That happened to me. You know, we can relate to the woman with the issue of blood. Well, I can. You know, she had tried, spent all she had. She had tried everything she knew, but nothing helped her. So she knew she had to go to Jesus. And you know, that's what each and every one of us had to do. We had to get to the place to where we know there's nothing else going to help us. You know, we had to touch Jesus. You know, on the altar, I can't tell you how to explain it, but I thank God for an experience that I can tell you that it's real because it happened to me. There was a change that went on. I went from sorrow and trouble to peace. You know, I thought of a song that when I looked up, he looked down. I really am heaven bound. You know, and that describes what happened to me. You know, I reached out with a high faith to Jesus. I know nothing else would help. And Jesus touched me. You know, I'm thankful that we have a salvation that we don't have to hope for, something that we hope we live good enough. I'm thankful for salvation that we can feel in our hearts and soul. You know, Jesus said that the Spirit would dwell with us and be in us. You know, he said is, I am in the Father, and he in me, I'll be in you. Now, I may not said that right, but we get the meaning of it. The 14th chapter of John, if you turn and read it. Paul in the Roman letter said the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're child of God. You know, I thank God tonight that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you've been saved, His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. You know, don't tell me about something that you hope for. I want to tell you about something that happened to me, something that His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that happened to me. You know, I was thinking, you know, a lot of people are looking for miracles in life. You know, if I could just see the Red Sea split or the plagues that's on Egypt, you know, that witness is a greater miracle than any of them ever was. You know, God took an 11-year-old sinner that was going to grow up to be a sinful man and said that you can be declared righteous in my sight for all eternity. Jesus bore my sins that I might be a partaker of His righteousness. You know, if you've been saved by the grace of God, the greatest miracle that could ever happen to you has happened. And you've got that in your heart. And we need to be witnessing that to people. We need to thank what the cost is for us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to think of the cost to a lost and dying world if we're not telling them about such a great salvation. How shall they escape if they neglect so great a salvation? Brothers and sisters, there is no escape. It'll be eternal separation for God. You know, I'm thankful tonight, like I said, that I do have an experience with the Lord that I can tell you about, that I can feel. You know, it there's nothing like when the Spirit of God passes by and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. You know, if there's any in our midst, I pray that you, if you don't know Jesus, pardon and forgiveness of sin, that you'll seek after Him. You know, it says count the cost here. You know, there's a lot of things in our life that hinder us from not serving the Lord. You know, the great commandment that Jesus says is to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, all thy heart, and all thy soul. You know, He says that we need to, one of the commandments to have no other God before Him. You know, if there had been but one commandment man couldn't keep, you know, that would have did it. That would have did it. We all get to a place where we want to be on our own. We want to think we're self-sufficient. You know, the devil, when he went to Eve and he was tempting her to eat the fruit, he said, you'll be like a God. You know, you'll know good from evil. And, you know, I guess that sounded good to her. You know, she'd be like a God. And, you know, we all get to places in our life to where, we might not think we're God, but things in our life we put before serving God. You know, situations come up different in my life than it is yours. But the devil knows just where to get all of us at our weakest point. You know, in the book of Job, the devil come before God, and God said, where you been? He said he'd been going to and fro, up and down, seeking who he might devour. You know, the devil's still in that business tonight, church. We need to count the cost. You know, Brother Moran mentioned in his humble prayer, I had trouble with my call to preach. And boy, I did. I sure did. I run from it. Said, there's no way I won't do it. And I meant it with all that was in me. And, you know, I didn't consider the cost. You know, when I think 22nd chapter of Proverbs, maybe the third verse, it says a prudent man foreseeth the evil. Let me turn and read that to get that right. Y'all bear with me just a second here. It says, a prudent man seeth the evil and hideth himself, but a simple pass on and are punished. You know, a prudent man, you think of what that means, and that a cautious man, or a man that has cautiously thought out what's around him. And you know, I think for a child of God, if they're going to do anything cautiously, they need to seek the guidance of God to do it. That's the only way that you can really be cautious about what you're doing. You know, and it says the simple, a man, I say, that man, he just doesn't think about anything. He just here and there, and he'll just pass on by, and he's punished. You know, we all get to, there's many examples of great men in the Bible that really didn't count the cost of what happened. That happens to all of us. You know, when I was running from the call to preach, my daughter was seeking the Lord. Yeah, I had a burden for her. I wanted to see her saved, but I really couldn't pray for her like I would have been able to. Why? Because I wasn't counting the cost. I wasn't where the Lord wanted me to be. And you know, that got hold of me. You know, and it come one Sunday morning, and I just carried it all I could carry it. It's during revival. And I just knowed that I was going to have to tell it. I told myself, I said, Lord, if you'll let me make it after church, I said, I'll talk to Brother Moran and my daddy, and I'll tell them about it. You know, got to church, and the church service started, and that wasn't going to work. I guess the Lord knowed that I'd have probably got out of that somehow, another two, or I'd tried to. You know where I ended up on the altar beside my daughter. I had to tell. The Lord called me to preach. You know, I'm weak, and I know I'm unworthy. And lots of times, maybe unwilling. But you know, I really need to consider the cost of me not doing what the Lord would have me to do. We each and every one need to consider the cost. You know, many things and many examples in the Bible. Great man, I say it. You look at David with Bathsheba. You think David, Bible says, a man after God's own heart. But he seen Bathsheba one day from his rooftop bathing. You think he stopped and considered the cost? No. You know, that had a great cost in David's life. You know, he committed adultery and had a man killed for his wife. And, excuse me. She was with child, and a old prophet come to David, Naaman. And he told him a story about a man that had just one little ewe lamb, and he raised it like a child. We all know the story. It's like a child to him. This other man had plenty, but he took that one man's lamb, and a guest come by, and he slayed and dressed it to feed that man. And David's anger was kindled greatly, the Bible said. And Naaman said, that man's you. You know, David caught that cost right quick. You know, the Bible said that he wept bitterly. You know, there's some terrible, Bible says that the sword would never leave his family. And you look at the reading the Word of God, and he had sons killing sons, and just there's a lot of death in his family. And that child that was born of Uriah's wife, the Bible said, he was sickly and died. You know, David, when he is on that rooftop, surely he didn't consider the cost of what he's going to do. You know, God said that you give occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme against him. You know, we need to be careful about what we do. We need to consider the cost. You know, you look at his son Solomon, a wise man. I quoted from Psalms there, from Proverbs. Solomon wrote the Proverbs. The Bible describes him as God give him wisdom like no other man ever before or ever after. As far as earthly wisdom goes, he was a wise man. But there's a lot of things in his life that he never considered the cost of. You know, shortly after he was made king, he took a Pharaoh's daughter to wife. And before it was over, of course, he built the temple to the Lord and prayed beautiful prayers. And he was a godly man. He was a wise man. You know, the rulers around would come to seek advice from him and just to listen to him because he was so wise. But yet he ended up maybe 750 wives or so, and he ended up in idolatry. Worse, he let his love for women, let's say, bring him to, it crept in. And he built temples for idol gods in. And you know, that displeased God. And God told him that kingdom was going to be took from him. You know, he said it won't be, for your father's David's sake, it won't be taken from you, but it'll be taken from thy son. And it said it'll be split apart. And you know, Solomon, in all his wisdom, he didn't consider the cost of that idolatry worship. You know, thou shalt not make graven image and bow thyself down before him. He knowed the commandments, but he didn't think cost. You know, one of the commandments, it says the iniquities of our sin could return in the third and fourth generation. You know, we need to look at the cost of the way we live. It'll have great price to pay. If we live ungodly in front of this world and we're not an influence for God, you know, people won't see that hope that lies within us. It won't see that we have that experience with God that I talked about, of being born again, being declared righteous for all eternity in the sight of God. And you know, if we don't warn the people, you know what God told Ezekiel? He said, if you see the sword coming upon the people and you warn not the people, said their blood will be on your hand. Say, people, we need to consider the cost of not serving the Lord. You know, count the cost. You know, You know, if there's any lost among us tonight, You need to consider the cost of not seeking after God. You know, I think the Bible in the book of Isaiah, let's turn to the 43rd verse. It says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." You know, the Lord here said, think about me. You need to think about, he said, declare or tell me how you're going to be justified. You know, the Bible's clear on that. Book of Romans, it says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. You know, it says that we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And you're looking at the second chapter of Ephesians, it says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If there be any lost, I want you to consider how can you stand justified in the sight of God? You can't by keeping the law. You can't keep the law anyway. But even if you could, the Bible says there'll be no flesh justified in the sight of God by the deeds of the law. You know, he said it's not by works. You know, that is, you mentioned this morning that a lot of people are taught and believed if they keep the commandments and all their good works outweigh their bad works, that maybe they'll get to go to heaven. Sad people. You know, that didn't come from the King James Bible that I can find. Not by works, lest any man should boast. That rules out works altogether. We have nothing. Well, I tell you, you have nothing that you can do to be justified in the sight of God. But God made a plan whereby you could stand justified in His sight. And in the first chapter of Isaiah, it says, "Come, let us reason together." You know, the Lord, He wants you to consider. That's what He's saying there. Let us reason together. You know, and when I was telling you of my experience, when the Spirit reproved my heart, you know, that's what the Spirit was telling me. He said, "Come, let us reason together." You know, and I thank God that I grew up in a church, people that know the Lord. But all I'd heard was salvation between you and the Lord. He'll let you know when you're lost, and He'll let you know when you're saved. Amen. And that's exactly right. You know, you need to consider the cost. You know, Jesus said if a man could gain the whole world and lose his soul, what would he give in exchange? Consider the cost. He'd give it all, but he'll have nothing. And if he had it all, it still wouldn't be good enough. Only by the blood of Jesus. You have to reach to Him through faith. And desire above all things to push through the crowd like that woman with the issue of blood. Don't let anything of this world hinder you. Reach through the crowd and touch Jesus. I tell you what, you seek Jesus with all your heart. You know, I think of Peter when he was walking on the water, and he's doing well until he took his eyes off the Lord, and then he started to sing. He said, "Save me, Jesus." And Jesus reached and got him. You know, that's the same way it is in salvation. When you cry out to Jesus with all your heart, He'll reach down and save you. That'd be my message tonight. May something been said that honor God, be up building his cause and kingdom. I ask y'all pray for me. Amen.